Welcome to Getting Intimate with Dr. Pragati Singh. This podcast was created as a part of Podcast Lab by India Film Project in association with Anchor by Spotify. This is Season 1, Episode 2. Things you need to know about STIs. Yes, today we'll bust 8 myths and misconceptions around sexually transmitted infections, also known as STIs. And we will discuss the truth that you need to know about them, whether or not you're sexually active. STIs are way more common than what you might think. Honestly, the majority of people who are sexually active will get one or more STIs in their lifetime. Remember that while some STIs might not be too dangerous, some really are, such as HIV/AIDS. And some STIs can have vastly harmful long-term consequences, such as cancers and infertility. Regardless, it is important to be aware of the next 8 points to reduce risk, harm, and stress for you. Now, we already know of more than 30 STI-causing microorganisms. Quite simply, when a person who has any of these microorganisms growing in or on their body, they can spread that infection to someone they come in close contact with, especially sexually. And that is how an STI is spread. Oh, and while STI stands for sexually transmitted infections, STD stands for sexually transmitted diseases. These two are different conceptually. While infection refers to the invasion or spread of germs in your body, disease refers to the condition that this infection will cause, such as various uncomfortable symptoms. More about that coming up later. Let's start. Myth number one. Having unprotected sex once does not cause an STD. And if I'm not having penetrative sex, I simply can't get an STI or an STD. Unfortunately, these are not true. Firstly, let this be said loud and clear. Once is enough to catch or spread STIs. You don't want to risk this. Secondly, penovaginal or penetrative sexual intercourse is not the only way to catch or spread them. Let's elaborate on this a little bit more. Well, of course, having unprotected sex multiple times means more risk of catching or spreading an STI, but the risk is not zero or negligible with even a single instance of unprotected sex. And yes, having unprotected penetrative sex is an obvious risk to catching and spreading STIs, but they can also easily spread through other modes, such as oral sex, hand jobs, or even kissing. In fact, let me give you full disclosure. It is even possible for you or your partner to get infected via various means other than sexual contact, such as sharing of an infected razor blade, from contaminated needles and syringes, or through blood transfusion. And believe it or not, there are also some STIs that can be spread through shared clothing, towels, blankets, etc. Yikes! Well, I'm just trying to make sure that I tell you everything that you should be aware of. Let me explain this a little bit more. One way of classifying all STIs can be as follows. Firstly, there are those that are spread via certain bodily fluids only, such as blood, vaginal secretions, and semen. These would be infections such as HIV, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. And second would be those that can be spread by other kinds of physical contact, such as through infected skin. These include herpes, human papilloma virus, and syphilis. There are also those that can be spread through infected materials, such as scabies and pubic lice. Please note that HIV is not spread through this route. What does all of this mean for you? Of course, the level of risk varies between different levels of contact. For example, the risk from infected blankets is lower than that from infected skin, would be lower than that from oral sex, would be lower than that from vaginopenile penetrative sex, and so on. The important thing for you to know is that the risk isn't zero from any of these. And so it's important to take all precautions and stay vigilant at all times. While you may already be using condoms during penetrative sex, you need to also actively protect yourself and your partner during other forms of sexual engagement. For example, when having oral sex, you must use condoms or dental dams. Dental dams are small latex or PU sheets that can be laid flat as a barrier between the mouth and the vagina or anus during oral sex. These can be purchased online, or you can even make them from condoms. And of course, avoid skin-to-skin contact if you see a genital sore that looks sus. Let's move on to the second myth. Another associated myth is that STIs and STDs are a risk to only those who are promiscuous or those who have multiple partners. This is also not true at all. Let's try and understand this logically. Firstly, if that one singular person that you are exclusively sexually involved with has multiple partners, it immediately puts you at the risk of contracting these infections from all sorts of people via your partner. You might or might not know about where someone else might bring an infection from. And even if they're exclusive with you now, it's possible that they got this infection before they even met you, right? In fact, if you understood myth number one clearly, you'll be able to understand this. That even if you and your partner have only ever been exclusively involved with each other, the truth is that there are more ways than one in which STIs can spread. Isn't that so? And in that case, since you both care about each other, you wouldn't want to spread it, right? What does this mean for you? I hope this makes it clearer how even if you have an exclusive partner, you remain at a risk of contracting or spreading STIs. And that's never a good thing. And so, using preventative measures is important each time you have sexual contact, even with your monogamous partner. Let's proceed to myth number 3. I know me and my partner don't have any STIs because we don't face any sexual problems or have any weird sores on our private parts. Ah, don't we wish it was that easy? Unfortunately, this too is a misconception. Let me explain. Of course, like any other disease, some STIs will cause certain discernible symptoms, such as ulcers, warts or bumps on your genitals, a burning sensation while urinating, itching and pain in the genitals, bleeding from the genitals during sex, pain in the lower abdomen, or an abnormal vaginal or penile discharge, among many others. Any of these symptoms or anything else that looks suspicious to you should definitely prompt you to go see a doctor. Any delay in that can be rather harmful. Oh, and please do not trust any advice from friends or Google results, for heaven's sake. But coming back to the point, the truth is that in most cases, in fact a vast majority of them, you cannot tell by looking if someone has an STI or not. Most STIs simply don't have any visible symptoms. Even the person who is infected may not experience any problems. It is possible, in fact it is rather common, for people to carry STIs without any symptoms for days, years, or the rest of their life. And because you won't have any symptoms, you risk not getting tested and so never even having it detected, leading to it spreading onto your partners as well. And again, we don't want that, do we? So what does this mean for you? Remember that a person can pass a disease to their partner without ever even knowing that they had one themselves. This is because there were simply no signs or symptoms. And because these infections can also stay dormant for long periods, one may also have received an STI from a previous partner years ago and might now only suddenly start seeing the signs of the disease for the first time. And so again, it seems like the best precaution to take is to use barrier methods of contraception each time you're sexually involved, symptoms or no symptoms, so that any active or dormant STIs do not get transferred. Which brings us to the next point. Myth number 4. I use birth control pills or oral contraceptives or copper T or intrauterine devices, and so I cannot catch an STI. Well, that's not true at all. The truth is that barrier contraceptives like condoms, diaphragms, dams, and caps are the only contraceptives that will protect you against the spread of STIs. How they work is by simply acting as an impermeable barrier between genitals and body fluids secreted during sexual acts. This prevents the microorganisms in the infected body fluids from getting in contact with the other partner's body. Simple, right? And so oral contraceptive pills and intrauterine devices only help you prevent pregnancy and not STIs. Same applies to other methods of contraception as well, such as withdrawal method or calendar method. You are not protected from STIs by any of these unless you're using some kind of a barrier contraception. Now here's the catch. Although highly effective, condoms still cannot offer full protection from STIs that cause ulcers beyond the genitals, such as the ones caused by syphilis and herpes. And this is where we need to talk about the concept of safer sex instead of safe sex. The more you understand the risk involved with intimate physical contact, the more you'll be able to realize that the only way to have fully safe sex is to not have any sex at all. Most healthcare professionals will agree that all forms of sexual contact carry at least some amount of risk. And so, safer sex is a more practical approach for those who do enjoy close physical contact. What does all of this mean for you? First, know that even when you are using other forms of contraception, you will still need to use some kind of a barrier protection during sexual acts to prevent STIs. This applies to penovaginal, penoanal, and also to oral sex. Look up dental dams. They can even be made at home. Second, what you should be really aiming for is safer sex, which focuses on reducing the risk of STIs through various good practices. We'll be summarizing some of these at the very end of today's episode. Oh, and while we're at it, let me quickly bust two more myths associated with preventing STIs. 1. Having sex or immersing yourself in a hot water pool or one with chlorinated water does not kill STIs or prevent their spread. You don't want to be experimentative with these things, to be honest. And 2. Douching the vagina after intercourse also does not protect against STIs. In fact, it could spread the infection farther up into the reproductive tract. Just don't do it. Moving on. Myth number 5. Myth number 5 is that getting diagnosed is a complex, difficult, or embarrassing process. Fortunately, this isn't the case. Most STIs can be diagnosed via simple blood tests, urine tests, or through a swab taken from the site of the lesion. I checked online for you, and most major cities across India have labs available that do a comprehensive package to test for a number of STIs. Many of these are available for home collection too, which means that the lab technician will arrive at your home, safely collect your samples and take them to the lab, thereby maintaining confidentiality and privacy. It also helps in saving time and any perceived embarrassment if you feel that way. The results can then be conveniently emailed to you or sent via phone text, and you'll know whether or not you need to take any necessary action. An associated myth also needs to be addressed here. Many women remain under the misconception that because they regularly visit the gynecologist for regular checkups or because they get frequent pap smears done, any STIs they were carrying would have gotten detected. And if the doctor hasn't said anything, it means that they are not carrying any STIs. Unfortunately, that's not true. The pap smear is only looking for cancerous or precancerous cells. All STIs have their own unique tests, including HIV. This means that unless you're specifically getting tested for them, you might miss detection. What does it mean for you? First, tests are easily available. Look up online. Ask your regular doctor for some kind of a recommendation. Or if nothing else works, ask me. Maybe I can help you find one in your location. Second, tests are easy and uncomplicated and will save you from a lot of needless worry and stress. Remember that if left untreated, you risk spreading them to others, and that's not good karma. Plus, many STIs can lead to major health problems in the long term. Who wants that? This also brings us to our next point, myth number 6. There is no cure for STDs. And then on the other hand is this one. STDs get cured by themselves if you just leave them be. No, no, and no. Most STIs caused by bacteria respond well to antibiotic treatment. And the treatment is easily available in rather simple regimes from public as well as private hospitals. On the other hand, STIs caused by viruses that can't be cured can still very well be treated, managed, and controlled. All one needs to do is contact a good healthcare provider and follow their medical advice. See, there are 8 microorganisms that are responsible for a vast majority of all STIs globally. 4 of these are currently curable. Syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, and trichomoniasis. The rest 4 are viral infections, which are not curable. Hepatitis B, herpes simplex virus, HIV, and human papilloma virus, or HPV. But remember, even those that are not curable also have treatments available to modulate their course, lessen the severity of the disease, and reduce harm. Even HIV, once diagnosed, can be treated to prevent it from progressing to full-blown AIDS. Let me explain. The symptoms caused by viruses can be treated and managed, but these medications cannot clear the infection from your body. Oh, and it's imperative that I mention here another common myth held by many in India, that by having sex with a virgin, one can cure their STIs. This is nowhere close to the truth. Please do not believe any such crap. Anyway, what does all of this mean for you? Regardless of which STI you have, it is critical that you receive optimal medical care, because untreated STDs can cause dangerous complications ranging from infertility, ectopic pregnancies, cancers, and even serious complications for newborns. And some of these complications from STDs occur years after infection, You won't want to look back in regret, right? Myth number 7. Because I have an STI now, I can never have sex anymore. Or, even though I have an STI, I can have completely safe sex with the use of a condom. Unfortunately, neither of these is completely true. See, once you have been diagnosed with an STI, or even if you suspect that you might be carrying one, it is prudent that you avoid sexual contact until you have consulted a medical professional. Make sure that you're getting your partners tested and treated in parallel too. But about navigating relationships as someone carrying an STI, the good news is that you might be able to still enjoy sexual intimacy as long as you're following medical advice and practicing safer sex. There are medications that can help to reduce your symptoms, and there are also some that can protect your partner from contracting them from you. The bottom line is to talk to your healthcare provider. They will be best able to tell you about your options, based on which STI you have, what are the health conditions you might be carrying, as well as your lifestyle. Also, in general, if you have an STI, treated or not, it is only ethical to tell your partner about it. It might be difficult, but it can also be a chance to talk about safer sex, as well as a chance to show your partner that you care about their health. While there might not be very clear STI transmission related laws in India, under the Indian Penal Code, you could be charged for not telling your partner before exposing them to an STI that you know you were carrying. That can also have an adverse effect on your marriage. What does all of this mean for you? First, there is a way to have safer sex even when you have an STI. It includes the use of condoms, but might also need other careful steps, including medication. The only way to know is to consult the doctor. Second, talk it out with your partner, even when it is not convenient. And lastly, myth number 8. If I already have an STI, I am protected from catching other STIs. Incorrect. Another associated myth. Once I've already overcome an STD, I am now immune to it and can never get it again. Well, you'd wish. This is not true either. Both of these are very, very untrue. Believing in these could predispose you to some major risks. Briefly put, you can have multiple STIs at the same time. In fact, in many cases, the presence of one STI increases your chances of contracting another one. And secondly, no, you are not immune to an STI just because you've had it before. You can catch it again, and you can also have flaring episodes of this infection repeatedly over a long period of time. Basically, you can't stop being careful of STIs, whether you are currently infected, have been in the past, or have never been infected by any of them. As long as you're engaging in intimate physical contact, you'll need to continue being cautious. In summary of today's entire episode and the 8 myths that we busted together, here are a few things that you need to take away. Aim to have safer sex by practicing as many of the following guidelines as you can. 1. Get vaccinated when possible. Currently, there are vaccines available against hepatitis B and HPV. 2. If possible, limit your sexual activity to only one partner who is also exclusive to you. 3. Before beginning sexual relations with a new partner, discuss their past relationships. history of STIs, drug use, and any STI screening that you might want from them. Fourth, always have protected sex only. Use condoms each time, even for oral sex. Also look up dental dams. Fifth, get timely checkups done. Pap smears, pelvic exams, and periodic STI-specific tests. Sixth, watch out for any symptoms in you and your partners and get anything suspicious such as sores, blisters, or any discharge checked out ASAP. And seventh, get treatment and prevent the spread. I hope these pointers help allay your fears and prepare you for your STI-free and safe intimate times. Come back for the next episode to learn more about how to keep yourself healthy, wealthy, and wise. And as always, don't hesitate to send in your questions, queries, and any suggestions to pragatipodcast@gmail.com. I'll see you next time. Bye.